more confusion here, okay? Big question is, what's it going to be this year, right? Which ultimate gadget or toy, which item of clothing, purse or set of shoes, what's it going to be? What has won the sweepstakes of becoming the viral, must-have, yet impossible-to-get gift for Christmas this holiday shopping season? Because it's always something, right? Does anybody remember Cabbage Patch Fever? Yeah, everybody wanted a Cabbage Patch doll, right? There was a Tickle Me Elmo craze for me personally. What did I want as a kid? I wanted a Furby. And if you don't know what a Furby is, God has blessed you and kept you. Do not Google one or get one, okay? Every parent is probably scrambling at this moment for the latest, from those things, right, to toys, but now it's tech, right, the phones, the tablets, the consoles for their kids so that they can give the ultimate gift and the kids, they desire them, all of that. And without fail each year, there are some must-have items that are not just the items themselves, but they're symbols. They represent something to us. And for the little ones who want those things, these are symbols that you are truly blessed. And the thing that you desire the most, you have what you need. And for parents, being able to find and get and give that gift means that you are an exceptional provider out of all of the parents. And under the surface of that annual scramble for the right gift and beneath the wishing and the dreaming for that one perfect present, as much as we see it as excitement, underneath it is fear. It's a fear that we carry around with us throughout all of the year, not just the holidays, and it's the fear of going without. It's the fear of myself or someone that I love very dearly lacking something essential to our well-being. And it's not a fear, again, that's unique to the holidays, but it's a time of year in which we place a very special emphasis on it, right? And we sprinkle it with joy and cinnamon and nutmeg, and we wrap it, and we put bows on it, and we place it under the tree, and we say, oh, please help with my fears, right? But the fear of not having enough, whether we're kids or adults, is just always going to be in front of us. And I'm sure that you've got a list going right now. I don't know if it's on a piece of paper or if it's on the Notes app, right? I've got a very long list on the Notes app of the clothes and gifts that you still need to grab in order for these holidays to be okay and for everyone to kind of push down that fear that there might be something that I don't have. Some of you might be tending to those lists in church. Hey, I'm not saying it's you, but it might be, right? Just a quick open, I just thought of it, I don't want to forget it again, right? I don't want to forget this one. But it's never not on our minds, and we're not alone. Today, in the correct scripture, standing in front of his disciples, Jesus gives them a command. He says, do not be anxious about your lives. And as always, when somebody tells you not to be anxious, I always joke, you say, oh, wow, guess I hadn't thought of just stopping it, right? And it is a command that Jesus gives to his disciples because they were themselves hand-wringing and worrying about whether their needs would be met or not. And it always seems so silly, right? You're with Jesus. How can you doubt that? But for these disciples, we could see how that fear could start to rise. They had been following Jesus, who is becoming this rising, prominent star. And wherever he goes, crowds of thousands go to meet him. And there's an ever-increasing tension between him and the Jewish authorities that are ruling over the area. And they're starting to realize that Jesus is not just a wonder-working rabbi with a little extra charisma than the most. The disciples, they were attached to something and someone who was greater than them, much greater than they ever anticipated when they first came when he said, follow me. And I bet they wondered, this Jesus, as he rises and as he becomes more important and as he's going to do what he's going to do, where do I fit into that big picture of what's going to happen to Jesus? Are my needs just an afterthought in his story? I'm giving up everything to follow him. I've left my home. Am I going to be okay if I stay attached and involved with Jesus? And perhaps you've wondered the same. We'd say, no, I'd never wonder about that. I mean, I fully trust Jesus with everything. Kind of, right? There's no doubt, I'm sure, that you know that Jesus has your best interest in mind for everything, right? On a grand scale, he's forgiven your sins. He has promised you an eternity with him. He has done all of these things, right? He's brought you close to the Father, and it's all going to be good. That's amazing. But if we're being honest, in the course of earning and offering us the big things, answering the big questions in life, could it be that Jesus has overlooked some of the little things that we need? Have you thought, I know Jesus has saved my life in the end, but will I lack what I need in my life today, right here, and right now? Is that something that's too small for this big Jesus who's in charge of everything to look after and to remember? I mean, I wouldn't be able to keep in track of everything. How would I expect Jesus to? But Jesus offers the same command that he gives the disciples back then to us, his disciples now. Do not be anxious about your life. But he doesn't stop there. Because if that's the only thing Jesus is going to say, it's a cruel statement, right? It's an impossible thing to just be able to switch it off. Instead, Jesus goes on and he offers a word of comfort. He hands us a couple of truly incredible promises. And these promises are going to make this command possible for us. He quiets our anxieties. He silences our fear of lack with his own word. And that word is twofold. Number one, right? Let's rehash this command. Do not be anxious about your life because, number one, the Father knows your needs. And two, he is pleased to give you the kingdom. Think about that for a moment. Your day-to-day needs, and the list is very long, right? The details are incredibly mundane, and it includes everything from the breath in your lungs to the gluten-free cereal you may need for breakfast. Every single item. And now consider that Christ says, the Father knows these needs. You are not going to pray to God asking for something and he's going to say, I guess I didn't consider that you would need that. He knows absolutely everything. In his full absolute glory and unmatched might, he knows that you need antihistamines in the spring. He knows that I need a snack before I go to bed every single night. He knows that you need just that little jolt of caffeine every 45 minutes throughout the day, right? God knows you. He knows what you need. But there's more than that. He's not just aware down to the detail of what you need and provides those things in our daily lives, but he offers something greater to us, more than just the physical eating and drinking and the shoes and the housing and all that kind of stuff. Jesus says the Father, on top of that, has been pleased to give you the kingdom. And this word that we use, the kingdom of God, we tend to think of it as a location, somewhere that you go when you die. Right? That's when the kingdom of heaven comes to us or we come into it, but that's not what that means. Wherever Christ is, there the kingdom of God is because he is bringing it. And the better translation of this would be the rule and reign of God. Everything that God is doing in this world for us, we are part of that now. We belong to him. Okay? So, Jesus is promising that you and I have been given full access to the activity of God, his forgiveness, his mercy, his presence and guidance, his love and care for us. Not just tomorrow, right? Not just when we die or Jesus comes back, but right here, right now, today, and every single day before that. Whether it's the most mundane things or the holiest things. With God, every need is met. Every time you buy groceries, each time you hear the word in church, every time you get dressed in the morning, and every time you receive communion, the God of the universe is reaching out from eternity into our world, into your small here and now life, and he's making it clear that he sees you, he knows you, he loves you, and he is making everything go so that it actually is possible for you to fulfill that command of Jesus to not be anxious. Because when we stop looking at ourselves and our situation and the this and the that and how could it for just one moment and breathe and remember that God takes care of all of our needs, logically, what is there left to be anxious about? And this is part of what makes Advent and Christmas so wonderful, so satisfying to celebrate, because it marks the inbreaking, the beginning of complete confidence in God's provision for us, because he withholds nothing. He sends his own son to come and live with us, to die for us, to rise from a grave that should have been ours for us. And on top of that, if that wasn't enough, the same Jesus opens up our eyes to the countless daily essentials that God gladly and freely gives to us, the things that we don't even know we need, the things we don't even know exist. And he just gives and gives and gives. And so for people of faith, Christmas is a joy to celebrate, because we know that in the coming of Jesus, we never have to wonder, will I have enough? Because we will, and we do already, because we have the person and promise of Jesus Christ with us through Christmas. And may that truth shape our celebrations this year, especially our worship, especially our gift giving, that it's not from panic or anything, but it's just out of peace. That whatever we give, whatever we receive, we know that all our needs have already been met in Jesus Christ. Amen. I invite you to join me in standing as we continue in worship.